I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, June 7th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Carrie.
David, let's take a look first at the Gulf oil spill. The Coast Guard said yesterday that even if BP is able to stop the flow of oil right now, it'll still take months to deal with the damage caused by the rapidly expanding oil slick. Obviously, this is a devastating issue for the people who live and work along the Gulf shores. But what about the reverberations in Washington?
Well, I think they're going to be large, but they're also going to be long. And that's, I think, the big lesson of this past weekend. Now that this cap is, at least for now, on top of the well, they're beginning to bring up about 10,000 barrels a day. And that is so much that it's almost more than they can handle at the surface. And it tells you that the amounts that were initially estimated for the size of this gusher were way too low. And that's sending everybody off to recalculate what the environmental damage will be. The political damage is also, I think, significant. It's now clear that President Obama was told fairly early on in this incident that it would take a long time to cap this and that the effects would be pretty severe. And that's likely to bring back these questions of whether or not the administration reacted too slowly. I ran into several administration officials over the weekend who said that they thought that their reaction had been fine, but that their communications about what they were doing had left a lot to be desired.
How is this going to affect the Obama administration long term?
Hard to know. You know, for President Bush, the reaction to Katrina was something that he never really recovered from, but it came after a series of other blows. By the time Katrina happened, the Iraq War had already turned bad. For President Obama, he had hoped that this summer would be the summer in which economic recovery was really beginning to take grip, that jobs would be coming back, and that he could begin to concentrate on the rest of his agenda. Now it's clear that the oil spill and the cleanup, a cleanup that the Coast Guard said would last well into autumn, and I think it's fair to say it could probably go well beyond that, is clearly going to dominate much of the rest of the calendar year. And that is a big issue for the president because he's still got many issues on his agenda unresolved.
Let's move to some international news. Off the Gaza coast, a naval force spotted Palestinians in diving suits in the waters off Gaza today and opened fire, this according to the military, killing four people. Israel said that its forces prevented an attack on Israeli targets but didn't provide any further details. Now, in a text message sent to reporters in Gaza, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades, which is an offshoot of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's Fatah faction, said the four men killed were members of its marine unit who were training in Gaza's waters. David, tell us about Fatah and about why Israel fired at the divers.
Well, it's not entirely clear yet why they fired. One has to assume that they probably thought that they were catching a potential terrorist act in the making. But what's interesting about this is that the Israelis have been making the argument ever since their seizure of the ship that ended up with the killing of nine a little more than a week ago, that what they're trying to do here is deal with Hamas, which of course controls Gaza, but support Fatah, or at least the political wing of Fatah, and Mr. Abbas. And that is going to be a hard argument to make if it turns out that these divers were in fact members of Fatah. So it's going to take a while to figure out exactly what happened. And I suspect it's going to propel the calls for an international investigation, at least into the ship incident and maybe into this one.
Now, Israel isn't allowing or is dismissing the very idea of an international inquiry. Why?
Well, they don't like the precedent that it sets. I saw the Israeli ambassador to the United States the other day, Michael Oren, and he made the argument that Israel's a democracy, and as a democracy, it can easily investigate itself. And he pointed to a number of previous cases where the United States has not brought international investigators in. But the fact of the matter is that an investigation conducted only by Israel will lack some credibility elsewhere. And so a lot of people are pushing upon them what they called the South Korean model. This was the investigation that went into the sinking of that South Korean ship back in March, which was an investigation led by the South Korean government, but it had members of five other countries, experts who came in, who in the end ratified the result.
Let's take a peek at what you're following in Washington this week.
Big week on Iran. On Wednesday or Thursday, we are expecting that the sanctions against Iran will be passed in the Security Council. Not clear how the Iranians are going to react to that. But question is, will these sanctions be effective? And what will the United States and its allies do to build upon the sanctions? Because they all admit that the UN sanctions themselves are not likely to change Iranian behavior, but they've built into the legislation a fair number of hooks that would enable individual countries to do some far more severe action against elements of the Iranian government.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on New York's Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.